Hey folks, it is Monday night, January 2nd, 2017, and you are listening to episode 51 of AIH Superfans. I am one of your superfan pals. My name is Alan. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip with Five Eyes, or Slip.
Hey gang, it's Ryan, also known as RB underscore 18. Happy New Year, fellas and gals.
And I'm Brian. You can find me on Twitter.com at Brian from AIH.
Pappy is missing in action at this point. Maybe he'll call us. If he does, he's welcome to join us. Otherwise, it's the three of us for tonight. I do have to say, unfortunately, for the second year that this show has been running, we were not nominated or won any Ezzy Awards.
Ah, oh, just missed.
big night, right?
Were we nominated?
I don't think so.
Best shitty podcast?
I mean, we're not close personal friends with the host, so, you know, unfortunately. Yeah, exactly. So, unfortunately, I don't think that we're on the radar. Though,
Happy won an award, I think, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Oh, attaboy.
In fact, I think it was the biggest superfan award.
Well, there you go. So clearly they're listening to the podcast.
I guess so. So let's, we got lots to talk about. We haven't been on in a couple of weeks, and yes, Happy New Year to everybody out there. I guess we'll start with the last, couple of games. By the way, funny, Arby, you're joining us, which means that, the Jets must be on some sort of losing streak.
I am rested, rejuvenated, and just in time for another Jets losing streak.
So a couple of losses in a row. One of them against the hottest team, probably right now the best team in the league, the Columbus Blue Jackets, earned their 13th win in a row by coming into MTS Center and beating the Jets. I believe the score is 5-2. And then on the other end of the NHL spectrum, New York Islanders come in on New Year's Eve. Always a big game in the MTS Center. And get our New Year's festivities started off with a 6-2 win over the Jets in what was a pretty abysmal outing. Bad goaltending in both games, I guess I would argue, but, you know, not much better anywhere else. I mean, is it all goaltending at this point? What is it? What's the problem here?
People act like Pavlik's going to come back and save the team, so...
I don't honestly understand all of this talk about Pavlik coming up and saving them with his 906 in the minor leagues. Meanwhile, Hellebuck is posting a near league average save percentage. At least he was until that Islanders debacle. But he's providing us with good goaltending. At 5-on-5, he's actually quite good. It's just that we can't kill a penalty because of probably systems and personnel. But Hellebuck is clearly the future. And he's, in my opinion, he's still the present. I don't think Hutch is very good. I think I'm kind of done with him. But we know Pavlik is not the answer because he's the fourth best goalie in the organization right now.
He certainly is. I was at a Moose game and loved watching him sit there on the bench. I was sitting with a buddy of mine, and I think it was his wife that asked, like, does he still have Bruce Springsteen on his helmet? And my friend replied, I don't know, because he's only wearing that ball cap when I see him. So, yes, there have been certainly quite a few calls for something with the goaltenders to happen, and a lot of talk that Hellebuck isn't getting the job done. And in some crazier circumstances, people have been saying Pavlik's name. So, I mean, my first thought is, like, how crazy is it that you're in a position with your franchise that the solution to put on the table is Andre Pavlik? Like, that's what you have as an option? That's it? I don't know.
Yeah. Like, and I've seen people say that, you know, call him back up. He's got a lot to prove in a contract year. And I'm like, he's still in a contract year in the minors and he's not doing anything.
No, he's not. yeah, it's certainly not a good situation whatsoever. With Hellebuck, I mean, there's a few things to look at. One is that you're right. His overall numbers are still better than Pavlik's, and it hasn't been great, but it's still better than Andrei Pavlik, which is amazing in and of itself. He's 23 years old. I don't think it's time to throw in the towel just yet, right? You were patient with Andrei Pavlik for, what, 5 years with this organization?
Yeah.
And now with a much younger goalie who has better initial numbers, we're like, nope, pack it in.
What I find most interesting is that it was his coach that kind of threw him under the bus. You know, there was that comment a couple of days ago about how you need to be average, you need to be better than average to be labeled the number one. And it's like, you trotted out Pavlik with worse numbers as the number one last year. And he's clearly the best option because Hutch has done nothing this year. And those quotes just, they struck me as so odd. And I can't wrap my head around what he was trying to do with that comment. And I had to laugh at the Free Press headline for that article about how they have two number twos. And I was like, no, that's your number two. Your coverage of the Jets, that's number two.
It's a number two.
Like, it's just, I don't know. I can't get over. I can't get over that comment from the head coach.
Other things about the Jets that may be a factor as well. You've got your power play sitting at 19th in the league. So not as bad as last year, but still in the bottom half, when again, you have arguably, you know, one of the best five weapons in the league. Penalty killing, though, sitting at 27th place in the league, 76.1%. Again, you can argue to some small extent that goaltending's got to bail you out a little bit there, but that's still kind of a team effort. And by the way, that's 76.1%, which is good for 27th. The Pittsburgh Penguins are at 22nd worst in the league at 80%. So there's an 80% cutoff. You fall a further 4% from there, and that's where the Jets stand. So really stinky there. Overall, the Jets are at, what, 17, 19, and 3. That is good for 24th overall in the league. 7th worst, so one spot better than last year, but the Devils and Red Wings and Islanders can catch them with games in hand.
If you look at points percentage, the Devils won tonight and jumped ahead of the Jets. The Jets are 4th last in points percentage, and they're 0.01% up on Buffalo, so they are in the bottom 5 in a race. I mean, they're not going to catch Colorado or Arizona, but they're in a race for a third last in the league.
Great. Maybe we can win another lottery.
Well, they might catch Arizona now.
Oh, Bernie!
The segue.
In other news, Alexander Bermistroff got waived yesterday and got claimed today by the Arizona Coyotes. So he'll play out the remainder of this contract with Arizona. I think he's runs out this year, and it's about $1.5 million. So nothing too substantial for a team to take on. I know, Ryan, you were pretty vocal about this stuff on Twitter today. So what do you want to say about Bermie?
Well, I've always liked Bermie. I'll freely admit he wasn't great this year, but really, who in the bottom 6 of the Jets has been? He's 25 years old, the same age as Brandon Tanev, who was, I saw, referred to as a younger player today, which I had to laugh at. Bermie, when he was really good here, and he was really good, I saw a bunch of people that were saying today, I'm glad he's gone, he's been no good since he's been here. Well, no, actually, in year one, he helped Evander score 30 goals and was part of an excellent PK tandem with said Evander Kane. By the way, what did you say the Jets' penalty kill is right now? Not good? Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
I just don't think Burnley really got that much of a shot with this team. I mean, down the stretch last year, he was pretty good with Marco Dano. It was pretty well known that he was better up the middle than he was on the wing. Yet he was put on the fourth line wing a bunch this year. And when all of the injuries hit, it was Brandon Tanev that got third line duty over him. And Adam Lowry got third line center over him. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that his numbers were great, but I just don't think he got that big of a shot. And Chayka in Arizona said today when he claimed him that they see potential there. They see value still there. And I wouldn't be surprised if they extract it, because I have a hard time thinking that what did Maurice say today? That he was there were people ahead of him in the lineup. And I have a hard time seeing how some of the players played ahead of him. So, I don't know. Burmistrov, Kane, and Bogosian. Those are the three jerseys I own, and none of them are here.
Which number for Burmy?
6. So, yeah, I didn't have 91 either. So.
So, do you think that this is just a case where this guy has just burned his final bridge? Like, you're right, his numbers, you know, they weren't any worse than some of the other players you've named, but this guy's been around. He's been in this organization for 6 years. Obviously, two of them he was overseas. But is it just the case where we're just fed up with this? Like, he drafted 7 years ago? So we're not talking about a new, like, we're talking about a veteran player at this point, right?
Yep. Yeah, but he's the same age as an undrafted Brandon Tanev, and who has the fifth worst Corsi 4 percentage in the entire league this year. And, I mean, he's in the minors right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's called up tomorrow due to the roster spot. Yeah, I guess they're done with Burmy. And I'm glad that he's going to get a chance in Arizona, and he will get a chance, because they have nothing up the middle right now. And I'm rooting for him. In fact, I'm rooting for him when he comes to Winnipeg in a couple of weeks.
Do you think you'll get a Burmy Coyotes jersey?
Maybe.
We'll see what happens there. So we do have an open roster spot on the Jets with Burmy being cleared out. Do you think it's Tanev? Or do we think do we have to say it?
It's Tanev.
Yeah.
It's Tanev.
Has it already happened?
I hope it's Pavlik. I hope it's Pavlik.
There's a part of me that hopes it's Pavlik too, just because.
Me too.
Because they're not, I mean, could they send Hellebuck down? I don't think so.
No.
And they're not going to waive Hutchinson because they need his contract for the expansion draft. So if they come up, there will be three. If he comes up, there will be three goalies, and that will just be such fun.
Oh, I have to go back to work tomorrow, so Pavlik coming up would make the day go a lot faster. So please, but yeah, it's probably Tanev that we're looking at, because Marco Dano is hurt, and he's hurt bad. It looks like it's a couple of months.
Yep.
They didn't disclose.
Yeah, they said like 8 weeks, I thought I saw.
So who knows what it is there, but it's something in his leg, right? So in that same game, like 3 minutes later, down and out, and then he scored later, and I was like, okay, well, at least he's back. But holy shit, that guy.
Yeah, he's I like Perreault, but he's Mr. Glass, and we'll see what happens. But seems that every game he takes a shot or something and he hobbles off, and his extension hasn't kicked in yet. So
I posted, and overwhelmingly it was for the under 240.5 games in over the course of that contract. So that averages out to 60 games a year. And overwhelmingly, people took the under. I guess the second part to that question is, do we think that it is around 60 a season, or do we think it starts off like 70 for a couple, and then the guy, like, does he finish the contract?
Yeah, who knows?
It's too bad, because, yeah, he's a gem when he's healthy, but holy shit.
That goal he scored the other night tied him with Chris Thorburn with three this year.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But Thorburn's still winning in terms of pounds of popcorn being consumed. Well, maybe not, right? Like, he was out there playing a lot until recently.
Yeah, and so it makes you wonder, I mean, will they call up Tanev just to sit? Because, like, that was the, I guess, the, well, in quotation marks, luxury they had in deciding that both Thorburn and Burmistrov were not worth playing, so they could just park them in the press box. But are they going to call up a kid to sit? Or are they going to call up a different warm body? Because I'm not sure I see the value in having a kid sit there.
So who do you think it could be? It won't be Connor, right?
No.
they did already call him up to park him in the box. I don't know. Quinton Howden, maybe?
Yeah, that's the only other person I could see getting called up.
Patrice Cormier, because who cares about him anymore?
Is he even on the team? I was at the Moose game. I didn't see him.
Yeah,
he's the captain.
He's the captain.
Oh, shit. I guess I wasn't paying that close attention. Connor scored a nice goal in the game I saw, and Comrie led in a real shit goal from the corner. They shot it out from the back corner and bounced it off him and in.
Uh-oh, he's the future. Uh-oh.
Oh, I guess we'll see. The Charlotte Checkers beating the Moose 3-2 in overtime on December 30th. And then, what was it, on January 1st, they played again on Eric Comrie bobblehead night, and they should have had the bobblehead with a ball cap on there too, because that's what Comrie was doing over the course of that game.
Yeah, that's what got some people talking about maybe Pavlik coming up to get a game in, because why would you sit a Comrie on his bobblehead night? I don't know.
Yeah,
it's this organization, man. Sometimes.
Well, we'll see what happens there. So on the goalie front, are we all pretty much in agreement that we should just stick with status quo? Like, we're all in agreement that you know, we're not even thinking playoffs again, right?
No. No.
Like,
I'm thinking Patrick.
You're what, Nolan Patrick?
Yeah, Nolan Patrick, more than playoffs.
And just, again, to put it into perspective, because, you know, this is one thing that drives me nuts around this time of the year, is that they'll continue to talk about, oh, the Jets are only blah, blah, blah outside of a wild card spot. In fact, when they were playing the Columbus game, it was being talked about, well, they're right behind Los Angeles for the eighth spot. And it was like, are we even going to look at games in hand? Like, do we not care about that kind of stuff? Like, yeah, technically they are. And in fact, right now, the Jets are 3 points out of a wild card spot. They're 3 points behind Los Angeles. They have played two fewer games than LA, two more than LA, one more than Vancouver, three more than Nashville, one more than Dallas. So this is goofy.
Like, no one seems willing to want to talk about it, but the Canucks, for how bad they are tied with the Jets and are currently winning tonight. They're going to be 2 points ahead, and they'll be even in games. The Canucks. Everyone's written them off and saying that their rebuild is brutal and that they're a garbage team. Well,
and you're not saying that that's untrue.
No, but what does that say about the Jets, who are neither rebuilding nor close to a playoff spot?
People just don't want to accept reality, right? With what's happening right now and with historical stuff. I get a lot of commentary. I think people think that now that I live in Toronto, I'm a Leafs fan. Like, they see Toronto on my Twitter account and they're like, oh, Leafs. And I've commented on the Leafs a lot recently because there's fun comparables to the Jets, but even historically, they're like, well, they don't have as bad a history as the Leafs. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, no one is close to the Jets in terms of futility, historic futility. And I wear that shit like a badge of honor. Like, people, you know, I was glad when Cleveland won a sports title this year. I was glad when the Cubs won the World Series. And I was glad when the Ottawa Renegades, who didn't exist 4 years ago, won the Grey Cup. Because it's like, that just further cements the Jets as like a historically awful franchise, both versions.
Yeah.
But people don't see that. Like, Jets fans, for some reason, want to believe that there's some sort of rich history of winning here. And it's like, when has it ever happened, guys? Ever? WHA aside.
Yep. No, I even saw I saw it on Twitter, and it was from, I forget which account it was, and I would say it was a positive fan, not overly, but they said it's getting really, they're getting really tired of seeing Jets highlights on Sportsnet or Hockey Night in Canada or anything, and the Jets' claim to fame or their big goal being Dave Ellett winning an overtime game in a series they lost.
Yeah, Brian, you know about that, don't you? Dave Ellett goal.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? It's a big
moment.
It's an enormous moment in the old Jets history. They went up 3-1 in a series against the Oilers, and then they lost that series.
And then the Oilers went
on. That sounds familiar.
Oh, they actually went up 3-1 against the Vancouver Canucks a few years later and lost that series.
It's 3-1 is pretty familiar for me.
Now, to put it into perspective, in 2003, I moved to Ottawa, and I moved in April, and Ottawa made it to the third round of the playoffs. And I remember driving, and it was spring, and it was May, and people were still cheering for the Senators. And I was like, this is weird. Like, what's happening? Like, it was weird to experience hockey in May.
Summer hockey? Yeah.
Because it never happened. We never got beyond the first round. We got to the second round twice, and then we got swept. And that's it. That's all we've ever had. So, anyways, obviously I like pointing it out to kind of take jabs too, but all I'm really doing is saying, like, look at what the numbers tell you. Yes, if the Jets go on, a 9-1 or an 8-2 streak or even a 7-3 streak, they could see themselves back in the hunt. But what evidence over the course of last season and all of this season tells you that that's going to happen? Like, this doesn't seem like a team that's on the cusp of making a run.
No, they haven't won 3 in a row all season.
No, they haven't. And in fact, last year, the only time they won 3 in a row was at the very end, right? And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, next year, look at that.
Yeah.
Other things that have happened with the Jets recently. By the way, Ryan, you didn't go to the ballet, did you?
I did not, no.
No? Okay.
No, I couldn't quite make it out there. I really, really wanted to see if Scheifele would fall down, but no.
Scheifele has been, I wouldn't say like he hasn't been poor by any means, but things are starting to come back down to earth a little bit, right?
Yeah, I've seen lots of people, complain about his play of recent. There's talk that he has some sort of hamstring or groin injury. And, for a long time, he was over a point per game, but he's slowed down in that regard. He scored against Chicago a couple games ago after the break, but he added a secondary assist in garbage time the other night. his underlying numbers are actually below 50%. I don't know. He's producing. I mean, you can't say anything about the production, but I don't think he's not driving play.
No, I mean, he's still on this team the number one center, I think. The only one that challenges him maybe is Little, right?
I think Little's been great since he's been back. But yeah, I guess, I don't know. I mean, is that line, like, is line A, Ehlers and Scheifele, Yeah, they're one of the only, there's six or seven players on this team that even have double-digit points, and three of them have over 30?
Well, yeah, I mean, the three of them are all in the top 30 in scoring. I think that's another frustrating thing about this whole situation, right, is that we actually have Jets kind of in the upper tier. Like, above average number of Winnipeg Jets are in the top scoring. Like,
same as last year. Wheeler was in the top 10, and Bufflin was one of the best defensemen in the league, points-wise.
I mean, if you go top 50 in the league, you got four of them that are right there. Yeah. And yet, here we are, like, again, not even close. And again, like, where we're setting the bar here, Like, we're going, this is a, you know, some people are saying this isn't a bad team. Look, they almost made the playoffs. And that's like saying they're not a bad team. They're almost in the upper 50% of the league. Like, we're not even talking about sniffing for Stanley Cups here.
They're almost average.
Yeah. And, but they're not really, which is unfortunate. But yeah, we've got, we've still got four of them though in the top 50 in scoring. But, one interesting thing when you look at the rookie scoring race is that with that outdoor game yesterday, did anybody see that, yesterday's outdoor game, the, Leafs and, Red Wings?
I heard about it.
I watched the highlights.
I watched the third period, which seemed to be like the period worth watching, and kind of was like upset because I went to the game in Winnipeg, which was awful. Like, it was a good experience, but the game itself was the shits.
Didn't they get shut out at home?
Yep.
Yeah, I went to the alumni game, which was pretty clearly the highlight of the entire Jets 2016 when Solani scored a goal.
Yes. and they lost the big game to an almost sold out crowd. And then the game here, that third period was, you know, they scored a whole bunch of goals. The Leafs blew a lead. It went to overtime. Austin Matthews scored twice. There was a break in the third period where they were playing Living on a Prayer. And then they stopped playing the music as the game started again and the crowd just kept going. And I was like, this looks like fun. Like this. This should have been something that this is the one I should have gone to, really. And I'm not blaming the fans. If the Jets had given them something to cheer about in that outdoor game, I'm sure they would have gone for it, right? But it may have been the quietest Jets game I've been to, was that outdoor game. But, anyways, go ahead.
It's hard for Jets games to be quiet now when they're filled with boos like the other day.
Yeah, it was one of the first times. I mean, they should be booing if they're not getting what they want. And not just at Hellebuck, right? They were booing other things, too.
Yep. I saw a lot of people that said they had to go to the concourse because the boos were too low.
I saw one. Austin Matthews, though, is now the number one rookie scorer in the NHL and the number one rookie goal scorer with 20 goals and 32 points in 36 games. So, three fewer than Patrick Laine for points per game of 0.89 versus Laine's 0.79. And, don't look now, but at a 0.75, so not that far behind, Mitch Marner, my new favorite hockey player.
That cannot be accurate. Gary Lawless stated 3 weeks ago that Patrick Laine was the better player and a better goal scorer.
Well, actually, since then, what's happened? Since that day, hasn't Laine been pretty bad or at least non-existent?
I think his points per game has been okay. He's got a bunch of assists. But yeah, I think he has 2 goals since that day in early December. Meanwhile, Matthews has, 14 in his last 16 or something silly?
And I mean, let's be real here again. Patrick Laine is a fucking fantastic player. And that is,
yes. He's who I wanted, honestly.
I think that in some ways, over the long term, you're going to get just as much excitement out of Patrick Laine as out of Matthews. But Patrick Laine's excitement's going to be out of in goal scoring, right? Like he's the weapon that you load up. But
except in Winnipeg when you don't feature him on the power play.
Yes, Austin Matthews though is the guy that kind of drives the whole thing. It's like on that Laine line. Clearly, it's Ehlers that drives that line, right?
And even so, that line is underperforming underlying numbers-wise. Like, all of their Corsi percentages are below 50. Meanwhile, Matthews is killing it. Like, and he's playing with 2 rookies.
Yeah. The other
guy... He's playing with Connor Brown and Zach Hyman?
Yeah. And the other question is, like, you know, we talked about all these prospects. Like, this prospect pool for the Jets was everything over the course of the last couple of years. Well, now with the exception of what? Roslovic? I guess what's his name? Tall boy.
Logan.
Yeah, with Logan Stanley. I mean, with the exception of those two guys, we've kind of seen everybody else put in some time with the big club, and yet here we are. In the meantime, I mean, look at, if you look at the rookie scoring in the league, in the top 12, you've got 5 Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Zach Hyman, like, Connor Brown, William Nylander, Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews.
I don't see Kyle Connor on that list, which is strange.
No, he's not.
No, that's a shot, and I think Kyle Connor is going to be a heck of a player. But there were, he's not exactly lighting up at the AHL level right now either. Apparently, he's generating chances, but I think he's got 3 goals in 9 games down there right now. Like,
so
meanwhile in Toronto, the kids are all right. Like, they are shredding it, and they're in a playoff spot. And all of the predictive websites have them making the playoffs now.
That's like, crazy.
Their rebuild. It's not just working, it's working fast.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk, well, they've had so many years of shit, and it's like we haven't won a playoff game. Like, yeah. if anything, they've done it better.
Right now we are in the Nonis era.
We really are.
Chevy is Nonis. It's true. Like, we need to clear house.
And I think that's the biggest complaint about this whole thing, right? Over the course of the last 6 years, is that this could have been done from day one, and it wasn't. And people want to point to, well, who else has done it? And it's like, well, you know, all the whole crew for the Toronto Maple Leafs came in the year before this season. And what did they do? They dumped off all the big salaries. They dumped off all the quote unquote stars that, and you know, they're not all useless players. Obviously, a lot of them have gone on to great things with other teams, but they've said, you know, we've got to move on with something completely different. They signed a bunch of, it's funny. I was looking at Matthias, when we were watching the game a few days ago with my dad, and he's like, where was he last year? And I'd forgotten. And then I was like, oh, he's with the fucking Leafs. And then they signed him as a free agent and then traded him for a draft pick. And lo and behold, what did they have? 10 last year draft picks?
More, I think.
Yeah. So
I think 11.
Yeah. So they have high draft picks. They have tons of draft picks, and here we are, like, within a year and a half of rock bottom. And, you know, I'm not saying this team's going to necessarily make the playoffs, but they're trending in that direction already.
Yep.
And it can be done. But, you know, unfortunately, in Winnipeg, I think that Chevy just plays things way too safe. Like, he doesn't do anything. He does things when he's forced to. Like, there's been no value add move that this guy has done to the team. He's, you know, he added a couple of cogs when the Jets made their run to the playoffs a couple of years ago. He's made, you know, some will say really good. I'll say, I guess, decent, like, with what he could do trades when he's been forced. But, you know, that's been it. His big splash at the draft was trading up for Logan frickin' Stanley. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's drafted well. Now, whether that's him or his scouts, the head scout picking it. And I've heard some concerns about the new scouting with Mark Hillier in charge, because apparently some people did not want Logan Stanley, and they traded up for him. So at the draft table, it's been good, but there's been no results. They have not traded players to increase the amount of draft picks they have, which we've been talking about all along, right? I've been saying that for 5 years now. Like, why are you not trading veterans for more picks? Well, and it's like,
you know, you put the argument out there that, okay, this team isn't good at attracting free agents, and they probably won't be unless they're a winning team, because otherwise big names aren't going to care about Winnipeg. And so what does that leave you with? Well, your strength apparently is at drafting. Why aren't you accumulating as many picks as you possibly can?
Yeah.
If that's the thing that you do well. You know, they don't really trade picks well, but supposedly, again, the jury's out on Stanley. Otherwise, the first round picks at the very least have been fine. Well, and in fact, really good in a lot of cases.
Stanley didn't even get a phone call for the World Juniors. yet there are, you know, people drafted after him are there and are doing fine. Brian, how many Jets prospects are there at the World Juniors?
Two, I believe.
I think there are That's three. It? There are three.
Oh, three. Yeah.
Spotcheck, Rostick, and Foley.
Yeah.
Yep. Spotcheck was the one I forgot.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Like for a team that drafts so well, where are they? I mean, like
I think the Flyers pros now. The Flyers have a whole shit ton, right?
Flyers have 11. They have 9, but now I guess Connor could be there, and a couple other kids could be there. But
Connor's not eligible.
Yeah, but the Flyers have 9, but they could have Provorov and Konechny there too.
Yeah,
well, and like,
well, let alone fucking the top players on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, and that's exactly it, and you know, the Toronto has a bunch of prospects that are killing it there too. That Greenway on US scored a huge goal today. I think the winner, actually.
Yeah.
And Minnesota has a bunch of guys there. Erickson Eck and a bunch of other guys. And like, every team drafts. But I've been saying it for years. Every team drafts. Every team develops. I'm still waiting for this franchise to develop somebody other than a top pick.
Yeah. And ultimately, you know, we're not going to argue that the Jets draft poorly. They draft really well up front. In later rounds, they haven't really found many gems yet, but they found serviceable pieces for sure. But even if they're a good drafting team, there are other teams that are just as good, and some are probably better, and some get better picks because they actually, you know, kind of say fuck it and throw in the towel and properly tank. And again, Toronto Maple Leafs, biggest example. You know, so yeah. Anyways,
now and I mean, there's a lot of talk about the Canucks not being able to do that while the Sedins are still there, and I'm like, well, Buff and Wheeler and Little and Toby, they're getting up there. I mean, they're not as 36 like the Sedins, but they're all 30 plus now, and this looks like yet another wasted year. And I don't know, like before these solid veterans, you know, start to age out. Are these kids going to get there? I don't know. They're not close this year.
Before we get to ask the super fans and move away from all this pleasantness, anything else? That's kind of, I think that's it for my initial list. Who have we got this week? We've got a road trip to Florida, right?
Yeah, with Tampa tomorrow, I think, and then Florida, and then Buffalo.
Yes, and I will be at the Buffalo game with Phil. We're going on Saturday.
Oh, who's that?
I wonder who scores more goals, Evander or Stafford?
We'll see what happens. I think it's going to be... Well, last year, Buffalo beat them twice, right? Evander wasn't in the second game, I think. But, yeah, Buffalo beat them twice last year. So, we'll see how it goes. Buffalo's kind of a...
And earlier this year, I think.
Did Buffalo win the first game in Winnipeg?
Yep, because I saw the highlight where everybody was chirping Bermy for that turnover to make it 3-0 Buffalo.
Oh, that's right.
Oh.
Even though the goalie got absolutely dummied on a routine shot from the from the wing. But yeah, let's all pile on Bermy because True North made it okay to say he's bad.
So we'll see what comes up for this week, but you know, road trips generally aren't good to the Jets, and they're playing a couple of decent teams, one really good team, one okay team in Florida, and then Buffalo. We'll see what happens. Should we go through some Ask the Superfans?
Yes.
All right,
you're gonna have to wade through.
We have to edit some of them.
All right, if you want to hit us up, use the hashtag Ask the Superfans. We are at AIH Superfans on Twitter, so that's where you go. But if you ask us a question, even when we're not having a show upcoming, anytime during the week, we'll search out that hashtag and we'll read them and answer them. So this first one, I won't go into total details. Basically, the question from John Malloy at JMol95, he wrote, "Is this the worst tweet of 2017? You can go and see what the tweet is.
Oh, no.
It's basically commentary about the fact that the Chicago Blackhawks seem to have been wise enough to honor Bobby Hull today. And allowing him to drop. Now, what was it? Him, he dropped the puck for Chicago, and Brett dropped the puck for St. Louis at today's game. So there is some praise out there for Chicago's decision to honor Bobby Hull.
And Chicago doesn't have bloggers that ruin everything, all the fun.
Oh, that's
apparently.
I'm pretty sure there was a blog post today calling calling Bobby Hull's involvement as he's their ambassador in Chicago, isn't he? Isn't he in an official position there?
I'm not exactly sure, but it was at one point, yes.
The reason I remember that is because they actually called him a blight on the organization. So I like that word.
Of course. Second City Hockey, our friends over who cover the Chicago Blackhawks for SB Nation, were the ones that posted saying that it's basically a disgrace that the guy is involved with the organization, which I believe is pretty much our stance in terms of anything to do with Winnipeg, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I should mention my first jaunt into the MTS Center this year, and got to look up at all those new banners that they put up there. And I think my initial thought was the last banner worthy moment that took place was in 1979. Because there are three players from the WHA days and three Advo Cup banners, the last of being 1979. And that's it. That's all that's banner worthy.
Yep.
So, yeah. And I say that I thought a lot about Brian, of course, when we were at the Detroit Red Wings game. And the Detroit Red Wings basically put up a banner for anything.
Yeah.
Like, they probably had, no word of a lie, there were probably 100 banners up there, but some of them were like, we won the Norris Division playoffs in 1987, so which means that they made it to the conference final. So they put a banner up. But if you put the threshold as winning a division title in old school hockey, or winning a division playoff title in old school hockey, or conference championship, or Stanley Cup being banner worthy, we still have none of those. So that's great.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Jacob Love at the lovely Jake asks, do you guys have one hockey-related nice thing to say about Kevin Cheveldayoff?
He got us Marco Dano. I like Dano.
I think what I was thinking of when I saw that question earlier today, Ryan, you kind of already stated, which is that he seems to do a good job of listening to his scouts. And drafting, especially in higher rounds, at least for the most part, right?
Until this year after Line, eh?
Yes. But, you know, he drafted Ehlers, he drafted Scheifele, he drafted Trouba.
Morrissey,
right? Those guys are all contributing a ton. Like, they're basically the team at this point. So, I will give him credit for that. He's not weak at drafting. That's probably his biggest strength. And again, I don't know why they don't make moves, or they haven't made moves to accentuate that more.
He's okay at drafting in the first round. They haven't, Hellebuck and Lowry are the two, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a couple that are promising, but it's too early to call.
Yep.
Like Foley, Nyku, but.
Yeah. Every team has those guys though.
Yep.
I like the Frolik trade. I didn't like what happened after the Frolik trade. I missed Takers. The Ladd trade was good. Oh, by the way, Ladd scored the other day, the other night in his return.
That was fantastic.
He got a giant cheer.
He did. It pierced the booze. It was awesome.
Yeah. let's see here. I'll go back to stuff from earlier today now. Here is from the 29th of December, Scott at, Bat Ninja, NINJER. In light of the Pomo firing talk, who would you hire if you could choose any active coach?
Active coach? Currently employed?
Let's say, alive and willing to coach.
Oh, active as in upright.
That's what, yeah, I'll just edit that and say that.
Ooh. I'd have to think about that one.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the guys have got their second chance. I mean, I just want someone that is not choosing to play such low event, boring hockey, which is what Maurice has them playing right now. Like, there's this new stat called pace. Has anyone seen this online?
No, I haven't.
It's basically, you know, shots, Corsi for and Corsi against added together. And they're like the second most boring team in the league. Like, yeah, defensively, they basically limit chances, but they get so few of their own. And it's no wonder the games are boring to watch. It's ultra low event hockey. They're basically relying on Ehlers, Wheeler, Scheifele, or Laine to pick a corner and then hold on for dear life. While I think this team actually has enough talent up front where they could play high event hockey, the Toronto Maple Leafs, on the other hand, are number one. They play the highest pace, and that's why their games are exciting. they're giving their rookies that are full of talent a chance to succeed, and they're giving them, you know, I mean, they make a lot of mistakes. I think they blew another 4-1 lead the other day, but they were up 4-1 again. Just like they lost to Winnipeg at the beginning of the year in overtime, right? When Matthews was shut down on the breakaway and the Lions scored the winner, right? Yeah. It was 5-4?
It was 5-4.
They were up 4-1 in that game.
They were up 4-0 in that game.
Okay, well, the fact remains they were up by four goals. Like, they're scoring goals, they're allowing goals, but I don't know. For a coach, I would want someone that would feature offense and not try and choke the life out of watching these games. They're boring. I don't know what you guys think, but they're boring.
Well, in our last episode, I mean, I think I still might be one of the least on the Fire Paul Maurice bandwagon so far. And the main reason is simply because I don't know what the alternative is at this point. If you gave me time, because I'm on the Fire Chevy bandwagon too, if you gave me time, I could come up with names for Chevy. But Chevy has, you know, Chevy has failed with this franchise for 6 years. And Paul Maurice has to deal with the players that he's been given. And yeah, I mean, maybe he's not deploying them in their, you know, the best way, or he doesn't have the best game plan. Like, he's chosen a shutdown game, which isn't working. So why not try something drastically different? Maybe some run and gun, or really handing the keys over to these young players. But I'm still not totally there that Paul Maurice is the biggest problem with this team. And
yep, when I see Mike Gillis and Lawrence Gilman still on the sidelines after what they built in Vancouver, I'd be all for them coming in. If you had to tell me a coach, I'd be intrigued to maybe trying Dallas Eakins. He seemed like he had some new stuff that didn't work in Edmonton, but what did work in Edmonton until they got McDavid.
One thing that I do find really interesting, though, is that when they do go to the power play, the first unit that they roll out is the Wheeler, Little, Byfuglien, Perreault, and who's the last one there? It's a vet.
Stafford, I think.
Stafford is on it sometimes. I don't think he's been on it recently.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% sure. But essentially, it's a veteran unit. You know, it's all guys, late 20s, early 30s, big contracts who have been around the league for a long time. And then it's the second unit. I mean, aside from Enstrom, it's Laine, Ehlers, Scheifele, and Patan. And it almost feels to me, it's like, well, you know, these are our vets, so we've got to give them the top power play, right? And I don't know if that's, you know, I'm still not entirely convinced that that's 100% a Paul Maurice decision.
It reminds me of a couple of years ago when the shootout would come out and it would be Ladd, Little, and Wheeler.
Yeah, like, your best power play weapon is clearly not on that top unit yet. That's the first one that you roll out all the time. And it's just like, are you trying to appease these players and make them happy? Are you trying to appease the GM because, you know, this first unit has all the money and term dumped into them? I'm not quite sure what's happening there. But if that is all Paul Maurice, then certainly put that on the side of why he may not be the right guy. But I'm still not 100% convinced that that's totally him. real AMAC peddler at Math Happens 51. Surprise, surprise.
Uh-oh, here we go.
McDonald for Thorburn, Stewart, and Stafford. Who says no first?
Personally, I'd consider it for the get rid of those three donkeys on our team. But
How much term does AMAC have? No.
AMAC has lots of term, though, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got more than those three. I think Stewart's the only one that's around next season right now.
Right. So yeah. No. Who says no first? Well, Chevy, because it's a trade.
unless he's backed up against the wall, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So do you think that Stafford's going to get traded? I mean,
he should, but who's going to take him?
I mean, we take anything we can for the guy, right? Like anything.
I would take a seventh and retain salary. what does he have? He has 2 goals this year. Couple of assists. He's been relegated to the fourth line, or at least bottom six for sure. And he's getting a bit spot duty on the power play, but I guess he's Patan's made him, or at least made that line go a little bit. So maybe if Patan can inject some trade value into him, that'd be great. But I don't know. I guess teams are always on the lookout for a sniper. And what did I see a stat that Stafford is the he leads all American born players in hat tricks with 6. So yeah. maybe there is some someone will bite looking for some extra depth for the playoffs. Hopefully. But yeah, there's no room for him on this team. Like, maybe Stafford should go sit up there tomorrow. And so when they call up Tanev can play.
Drew Stafford, 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points in 24 games.
Oof.
For $4.5 million? $4 million? $4 million. Yeah, I guess so, right? Here we go. Justin Laniak at Justin17L. Will Burmistrov score a hat trick against the Jets the next time the Jets face the Yotes? I say no, but I bet you he scores a goal.
That'd be something. No, he doesn't get a hat trick. I was pondering the idea of tweeting out today that I bet you, but I don't know if he will. I don't know what opportunity he's going to get in Arizona just yet. But I think he'll end up with more points this season than Brandon Tanev. And right now he's 2 behind him.
Are you willing to bet somebody out there in listener land?
Oh, sure. Because right now Tanev's in the minors, so.
Good job. All right.
But I was also thinking, like, I don't know, I was throwing around the idea of Kopp. Kopp has, I don't know, 6 or 7 points. Lowry has 10. I don't know. I don't know what role he's going to get there. But I bet you he scores more than the 2 points he has in 24 games with the Jets this year, I think.
Tanev is at, let me just go back. Tanev, where are you? He's got 2 goals because we saw them.
Scored them both in that Red Wings game.
Yeah, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points in 35 games.
Yep. So, Burmy has 2 assists in 11 less games.
Yes, he does. So we'll see. Let's see here. HP Sauce at Dr_Pleasures asks, how has Connor been doing with the Moose?
Better.
I'm putting in American Hockey League now. So we will
see. He has three goals. Yeah.
In 9 games. And he's, not that plus minus matters, but he's minus 2. I don't know. I haven't checked any underlying numbers. I don't even know if there are any for the
minors. The AHL?
I don't know. But, the only people that I could follow are some of the media members, but everything's hunky-dory with them, so apparently he's been okay.
Well, let's see here. Okay, so, yeah, Kyle Connor, 9 games, 3 goals, 2 assists, 5 points. Let's see. Andrew Kopp has 5 assists in 8 games with the Moose. Jack Roslovic, 8 goals, 11 assists for 19 points in 25 games, which isn't too bad at all. And just as other players that we know, Chase DeLeo has 14 points in 26 games. 6 goals, 8 assists. So you know, I guess it hasn't been so bad for Connor. He's getting, doesn't tell me how many minutes a game he gets. But he's a main guy. Like, he's on the power play. He's getting to play, which is the right thing, right?
Yeah, I think he's getting first line minutes down there.
Yeah, and that's really the most important thing. Now I just want to look at goalie stats, because why not, right?
Well, while you're there.
Yeah, I mean, I already went over to the website. Andre Pavel, well, let's see. Eric Comrie is at 0.909 save percentage. Andre Pavlik, everybody, is at 0.910. So he's come up.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
He's on fire. Call him up.
Yeah, he is. You know what's funny is that then they... This is... So they have Eric Comrie with 18 games played, Andre Pavlik with 13 games played, and then there's one more goalie on this list. Empty net, 14 games played, 12 minutes and 30 seconds, 5 goals against. They even give them a goals against average and count in the team's overall save percentage.
Come on.
I kid you not, AHL.com, the most amazing website ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so... Comrie's a 909, Pavlik's a 910, but combined they're a 905 because he included the 5 goals.
That's outstanding.
5 goals and 5 shots for empty net. So, I don't know, call up empty net.
He's going to
rebound. Empty net should be our number empty one goalie. Empty
net's going to rebound soon. Give him a chance.
Call him up. Call him up.
Let's see. Go back to Twitter. I think that might have been the last one that I can read. I think there's one more that, well, how will I phrase this? John Malloy at JMall95.
Oh, boy.
Will those who support Bobby Hall love Evander Kane in 30 years, or does he have to say something pro-Hitler first?
Oh, boy. I'll defer on that one.
Yeah, I think we'll all defer, but that's, JMall95. I hope that after this year we never see Bobby Hall again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the big thing for me. I think that's it for Ask the Superfans. I was expecting a few more, but that's all that I see. Brian, do you see any more that I'm not seeing?
Let me check real quick. You saved the best for last.
Did I?
That was the one I was thinking of for sure.
I will say this again without mentioning names. It was pretty awesome. What was it? There was a response from what's his name? Randy Turner, right? Responded.
Oh, yeah. Responded, Bruce Arthur tweeted about the empty seats in Montreal tonight being in Florida.
Yeah. And then Randy Turner said, why are you at a Panthers game? And somebody out there in Twitter land thought that it really was a Panthers game and took it as an opportunity to call out Florida hockey fans. And of course, then Randy was like, it was the Bell Center in Montreal. So
move him to Quebec.
Yeah. Also, I should note that there is also people that were saw those seats in the Bell Center and were like, oh, well, if that was in Winnipeg, it would definitely be sold out. And if the World Juniors in general were in Winnipeg, we'd sell it out. And it was like, my first thought was, well, you have 5,000 fewer seats. So, in fact, and then Montreal, you have almost 7,000 fewer seats. So, you know, I would hope so.
I don't know. I saw that the price was. I saw someone tweet the price $200 to go to that game tonight, and I was like, if I wanted to watch a bunch of kids that aren't ready for the NHL play for $200, I'd go watch the Jets.
Oh, Ryan. yeah. There were tickets on StubHub for relatively cheap for some of the semifinals here, and I thought I'd go, and then I was like, I'm just gonna go to an OHL game, like. You know, it's not the best players, but it's the same level of hockey.
Same caliber, yeah.
Yeah.
Has anyone watched the Americans play at all? Like Roslovic's on the third line and Foley's on the fourth. How have they looked? Anyone?
No, I'm always at work when they play.
Yeah.
No, nothing for me.
I'm just curious why, like an AHL producer, like Roslovic's having a good year in the A. Well, why is he their third line center? I honestly don't know. I have no input. I'm just curious if anyone knows.
I don't know. I think that's just Team USA being Team USA.
Well, they looked good against Canada, but barely squeezed by today, it looked like, eh? Over Switzerland, was it?
Yeah, but they won.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that Hischler looked pretty good for. He's going to be a high draft pick. Maybe the Jets can get him too.
My favorite pieces of commentary from last year, after right at the end of the hockey season, was when I think it was Gary Lawless on TSN 1290 was like, "Well, the States passed up on Kyle Connor, and look how shitty they did in the World Juniors." And I was like, "You actually got them mistaken with Canada, who did really poorly in the World Juniors. The States, I think, finished third."
Yeah.
So that
was with a bad lineup too.
Yeah. Well, they had Matthews, right?
Yeah, like he's not wrong that they didn't pick their best players, but they still turn out well.
All right, anything else before we call it a day? We've made it to an hour again with no Pappy. Mm-hmm. Pappy usually takes up like 45 minutes of the hour, and he's nowhere to be found.
I tweeted to him. Right, and well. He just messaged us in our little group.
Oh, did he?
Our super fan elite DM.
Yes, our super fan elite chat.
Yeah, where we talk about
he wasn't feeling well and he passed out on the couch. All right.
Well,
feel better, Poppy.
Yes, feel better, Poppy. And I guess with that, Poppy, you can listen to us instead while you're feeling better. And for the rest of you, hit us up over at AIH Superfans over on the old Twitter is where to find us. For those of you that are wondering about AIH 20416, I'm finally going to get a chance to talk to Phil in person. I haven't seen him in months. So we'll talk on the way to the game on Saturday, and we'll see what the hell we're doing with that show, because I'm not totally sure. Go to arcticicehockey.com for all your Winnipeg Jets news and notes, and we'll go around the horn one more time. My name is Alan. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip with Five Eyes, or Slip.
Ryan over here, RB_18, and got some people mad at me the past couple of days. I don't know why.
Of course. Why are they ever mad at you when it comes to this team?
I don't know. It's not. Hey, I didn't put it together. In fact, I didn't even bring them back.
No, that was. And one more person out there.
I'm Brian. You can find me at Brian from AIH, and I also didn't bring the Jets back.
None of us brought the Jets back, but I'm sure that when the Jets leave, they'll blame all of us.
Yeah, exactly.
I will take credit for it.
All right, everybody, we will see you all probably in a week. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.
Cheers.